All right, our reading is coming from Psalm number 24. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. We're going to do a little bit, and then we're going to read, and then we're going to jump and read something else. Amen? Please follow along. I'm starting at verse number 1, and it reads, "The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." Now drop down to verse number 7. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. You ain't got to grab him. Look him square in the eye, but you're going to point at him. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Point at him. Let him know you pointing at him. Amen. And when you say this to them, say it to them like you mean it. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, lift up your head." All right, say it like you mean it. Now, "Neighbor, lift up your head." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Lift Up Your Head." Amen. Truth be told, Brother Phil, yes, sir, life situations and circumstances sometimes get the best of us. Amen. When we look at the political environment and we look at what is happening within our society, a lot of things that are occurring are causing folk to drop their heads. And when you look at the whole scenario of this Me Too movement and sisters finally feel that they have a platform, and it's not just sisters, but it's men too, but majority are sisters, so let's not get it twisted, where they can say, "Things have happened to me that I did not want to happen, and I felt there was nothing I could do." So it caused many heads to drop. And when we look, once the Me Too movement took shape and people became very boisterous about what happened to them, many heads that were dropped began to be lifted up. But then we look at what is happening within our society with the current situation with the person who is up for Supreme Court justice. When we listen to how that all has happened and how all that is going, and the committee decided to, okay, they voted through, but they want to have a further investigation. Right. So many of those sisters that wanted to lift their heads back up, now their heads are dropping. As the people of God who understand it is the Lord who has brought us this far, even though we're in church, we have some sisters who might have to deal with this whole Me Too. Meaning that they love the Lord, they thank God, but still some are here, but their heads are dry. And then we have men who are in the same situation where you love God, you praise God, the Lord has brought you a mighty long way, but you have looked at some injustices that have taken place with you, how you were wrongly accused of this or that, and things have happened in your life when opportunity was supposed to be knocking at your door, you went to open it, and they slammed it in your face, and it caused your head to... But we're still in church, and we still come, but our heads are dropped. You see, there's an issue that we have to talk about, because when your head is dropped, your ability to see is limited. Because it's only limited of what is right in your general vicinity. Because you're not looking up to see where you can go. You're not looking left or right to see what's available. Because of situations and circumstances in life, your head has dropped. And because of that, it impacts you on every aspect of your life. From your marriage to how you deal with kids, how you deal with folk at your employment, how you deal with family, even how you deal with folk in church, because your head is dropped. David understood that in order for the people of Israel to continue to move forward and to do as God instructs them, they cannot walk around with their heads dropped. Because they can't see what's coming at them, nor can they see where they are going. Because when you look at this particular psalm, this psalm is entitled "The Entrance into" excuse me, "the Temple." Okay? Now, we understand what David wants folk to do. But before he wants them to do anything, he wants them to recognize who is the one who has blessed them. Who is the one who is ultimately in control. Because he says in verse number 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." That's King James. And that's how I got it memorized. But it says, "The earth is the Lord's." It's a New Revised Standard Version. "And all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." So the earth is who? The Lord's. "And all that is in the world and those that live in it." Which means that every last one of us in here, we have been created by God. And everything that you see here on this earth is created by God. Now, so what David doesn't want folk to do is get it twisted. We ultimately have to know who is large and who is in charge, and there's nobody but God. And when you know it is God who is large and who is in charge, then David tells them, as you're entering in the temple, he tells them to do something in verse number 7. He says, "Lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient door." Why? So that the King of glory may come on up in here. You see, Brother Red, the one thing that David realized was true then and still true today. Folk are walking around with their heads dropped down because of situations and circumstances. Now, I want you to touch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, we ain't making light of your situation. What you're dealing with is real. What you're dealing with causes pain. What you're dealing with brings you to tears. What you're dealing with causes you to walk the floor. What you're dealing with, if you're not careful, will cause you to worry. But God doesn't want you to worry, but God wants you to pray. Because if you have the energy to worry, that means you have the energy to pray." But we have to know something here. David is saying, when you come up into the temple, lift your head up. Because when you lift your head up, there's a whole lot more to see. When you lift your head up, you can see God's creation all around you. When you lift your head up, you realize that the sun is still shining. When you lift your head up, you realize that there are other folk who are dealing with some of the stuff you're dealing with, but they got their heads up because they know that they want to lift up their eyes unto the hills from which cometh their help, because their help comes from the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, you'll never know what God can do for you, through you, and around you until you first lift up your head. You see, my brothers and sisters, God is using David to convey to the folk then, as he's conveying to us over 2,000 years later. You want to see change occur in your life? You got to first lift up your head. If you want to see your negative turn into a positive, you must first start by lifting up your head. You see, because once you lift up your head and you're able to see all that the Lord is doing around you, then once you lift up your head, you know, the next thing that gets lifted up is called your hand. Because you start lifting up your hands and you realize the mighty God whom you serve, how he's taken you from a nothing and he has done great things with you. And when you lift up your head, you're reminded once again how good our God is. And when you lift up your head and lift up your hand, the next thing you do is you start to lift up your voice and you begin to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you realize that the Lord has blessed you to see another day. You are in your right mind. You've got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and you know that he is the one who had kept you safe all through the night, allowed you to see another day. So you got a reason to lift up your head. Do I got some folk who ain't got no problem lifting their heads up? And when you lift up your head, you can lift up your hands, you can lift up your voice, and you can begin to give God the praise, because he has been better to me than I've been to myself. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good our God is, how good our God has been to you, how he's brought you through this, how he brought you through that, and you're still here to talk about it? Some folk were on sick beds, but didn't the Lord heal your body? Some had ailments. Didn't the Lord take care of you? Some of y'all had other stuff going on. But guess what? You are still here right now because of the grace and mercy of God. That's why I got to lift up my head. You see, when I lift my head up, it does something for me. You see, because once I lift up my head, then God is going to do something. He's going to let me be lifted up. You see, he can't lift you up until you first lift up your head to him. You see, there's some stuff God wants to do in us, but it won't happen as long as our heads are. But when I lift up my head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. You see, all of us have this. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got a choice. The choice that we have is, do you want to let the King of Glory come in? You see, Reverend Rhodes, we all been guilty of this. Somebody ring your doorbell on a Saturday late morning, and you know you ain't expecting nobody. Many of us go and we peek out. And if it's somebody we don't want to deal with, then we don't. So you got a choice. You got a choice on whether or not you're going to keep your head down or lift your head up. When you lift your head up, and you will be lifted up. The only way, though, that you're going to be lifted up is that, my brothers and my sisters, when you lift up your head, you're going to be lifted up, because you're going to allow the King of Glory to come in. You see, my brothers and my sisters, some folk can't understand why we shout so much. Some folk can't understand why we're constantly humming and praising God. Some folk can't understand that sometimes when we walk through the doors, tears just flow from our eyes. Some folk can't understand that anytime they're doing something at the church, you want to be there to do it. Some folk just don't understand why you are excited about being a child of God. You see, they don't know your story. They don't know all the stuff the Lord brought you through. They don't know how he turned you around. They don't know how he healed you. They just don't know all that God has done for you. But it all happened when you decided to lift up your head. And when you lifted up your head and gave God the praise, when your praises went up, I want you to understand something. something automatically occurs when praises go up. Praises that come from the inside of who we are. Thanking and praising God from bringing us out of the whatevers in our lives. And Lord, I won't forget what you've done for me, because I know I couldn't get here unless you made a way for me. And when you make it your business to give God the praise, when those praises reach God, you can be rest assured, Deacon Booth, that the Lord is going to shower you with his blessings. And when he does, that means you're allowing him to come in. And when he comes into your life, there's no way you can ever be the same. You will never go back to what you were, because you know God has turned your life around. Deacon Wally, when you know what God has done for you, there's no way I'm going to look back. There's no way I'm going to let my head stay dropped down, because I know I didn't get this far all by myself. It's nothing but the grace and mercy of the Lord that brought me this far and going to take me all the way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is? You see, he said in verse number seven, lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be what? Lifted up, O ancient doors. Why? That the King of glory may come in. But then he said, just in case you get it twisted, who is this King of glory? He said, I want you to know who is this King of glory. The King of glory is the Lord. And he's what? Strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in what? Check this out. Have you ever had a day when it seemed like life has just been kicking your butt? And life was kicking your butt so that when you got up and you sat on the side of the bed and you just said, Lord, I just can't go no more. And ain't nothing that's physical. It's all mental. And it seemed like the enemy is already behind you, high-fiving he and his nymphs for keeping you down. But something happened to you while you were on the side of the bed thinking that you just couldn't make it. But the one thing you realize is that you might not have the strength right now to stand up. But what you realize is you got the strength to go down to your knees. And when you went down to your knees, you say, Lord, I need your help. Things are going on that I just don't understand. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to take another step. But then all of a sudden, the anointing of God through his Holy Spirit comes upon you, because the Lord we serve is strong and mighty. And through the anointing of his Spirit, you find yourself getting back up again, moving forward again, because you realize that you serve a God who has your back. You serve a God who will fill you with his Spirit. You serve a God who is mighty. You serve a God who will make a way out of no way. And next thing you know, you done got yourself dressed and you're heading out the door, because the Lord is strong. The Lord is mighty. I'm not looking to myself. I'm looking to the one who created me on this earth, who is going to see me through. And that's why whenever things get a little rough for me, I know who to call on. I know where my help comes from. I know who's going to bless me. I know who is blessing me. I know who'll see me through. I know who'll open doors. I know who'll knock down walls. I know who provides for me so I can get up another day, because the Lord is strong and mighty. But hold on now. I want you to know, when you make that decision to get up and go out, I want you to know. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, here come the battle. You see, the enemy says, you gonna come out that door, huh? I got something for you. Come on out that door. I got something for you. That's what the enemy is saying. But what the enemy don't realize is you ain't going under your own strength. You're going under the strength of the Lord. And the Lord is my light unto my path, and he is a lamp unto my feet. So I understand that when I step out, it says that the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. I ain't all that in a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. But when I gave my life to the Lord is the one who makes all of us what? Good. And since the Lord has made me good, that means that every step I take by the Lord, that step is what? Good. So no matter what comes up against me, I know that God's got my back, my front, my left, my right, my top, my bottom. And feel the Lord is going to see me through. Because the Lord is going to get me the victory through that battle. I'm going to win only because of the Lord is going to fight that battle for me. So the enemy thought he was going to do something. But he didn't realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That the enemy is going to bring you through the whatevers of the battle. Because all you got to do is just be still and know that the Lord is God. So as you stand there and be still, the enemy think he going to jump on you. God done smacked him left, right, top and bottom, moved him about the way. And guess what? You still walking by faith. Because the steps of a good person are ordered by the... You see, my brothers and sisters, you and I got to see something here. You and I got to see what is going on here in this scripture. And what's going on in this scripture is that David wants the people of God to be encouraged. And you know what he's talking about? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm the temple. You see, are you going to let God in your temple? You see, because when you let the Lord in your temple, then you are assured of God doing some stuff in your temple. But in order for God to come into your temple, you got to first lift up your head. Because when you lift up your head, that's the beginning of everything else that's going to transpire. And once you allow the Lord in, David is doing here what I'm about to say, what David is doing, the same thing you do with your kids. You know how when your kids were small, you tell them something once. They didn't get it, so you had to tell them again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I ain't saying that you had that bad kid, but sometimes all kids need to be told more than once. Somebody ought to say amen. Because when you look at verse number 9, David repeats what he said in verse number 7. He says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be what? O ancient doors, right? That the King of glory may what? And the thing is, he wants us to understand, God wants to come in to all of our lives. He doesn't ever want us to be in isolation. He don't ever want us to be out there trying to face the enemy by ourselves. Because it's a battle you can't win by yourself. You can't beat him. You only can be victorious when you allow the Lord to what? Come in. So that's what he says in verse number 9. But he changes it slightly in verse number 10. Because in verse number 10, he says, who is this king? Do you see this? He says, who is this king of glory? Who is he? The Lord of hosts. What he is doing is letting all them other folk who've been worshiping all these other gods, he's letting them all know. Them are all hosts that ain't on the same level of my God. Because my God is the God who is in control. My God is the one who is able to cause the sun to stand still. My God is the one who provides breath in our bodies. Our God is the one who allows the rain to come down. Our God is the one that allows the vegetation to grow. Our God is the one who watches over us and keeps us safe. Our God is the one that puts roofs over our heads. Our God is the one that supplies all of our needs. Our God is the one that maintains us and sustains us. My God, our God is the one who provides all of our needs. Our God is the one that sent down our big brother, and his name is Jesus Christ, to pay the ultimate price for us so that you and I can now get an audience with the Father, because we've had an audience with the Son. And now that we are right, I want you to understand something, my brothers and my sisters. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you want to see God move in your life? Because you are the temple Your body is the temple. And if you want to see what God can do for you, it is time for you, my brothers and my sisters, to lift up your head. And when you lift up your head, go on and start praising God. And when you start praising God, you'll be amazed at what God is going to do. He's going to come into you. He's going to bless you. He's going to take you to higher heights. He's going to do the impossible. He will make a way out of no way. He will open up some doors. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is? How our God can do the impossible? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah! Check this out. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't need anybody to prime my pump. Now, what am I saying? You see, I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me that it's time for me to say hallelujah. I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me it's now time to praise the Lord. You see, when I woke up this morning, I had to praise him. When I was brushing my teeth, I had to praise him. When I was able to go to the bathroom, I had to praise him. When I was in there washing in the shower, I had to praise him. When I was able to put my clothes on by myself, I had to praise him. When I was able to walk down the stairs, I had to praise him. When I was able to put food in my mouth, I had to praise him. When I was able to see the light of day, I had to praise him. I don't need nobody to prime my pump. My God has been good to me. Do I got anybody in here who doesn't need anybody to prime them? Oh, my brothers and sisters. You can have a seat for a second. God does not need any more folk who got to be entertained. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to grow spiritually. Because of the hell we got to deal with when we go out there. This is supposed to be our place of refuge. This is supposed to be the place where I can just, metaphorically speaking, let my hair down. Take my shoes off. And just praise God. Because this is my refuge. This is the place where I had my initial encounter with the Lord. And it allows me to go everywhere I go and wherever I go. I can't do nothing but praise him. Because Jennifer, I realize that the Lord has brought me a mighty long way. Sister Penn, he has sustained me, maintained me, and done for me what I thought could not be done. And since I know it's nobody but God, I got to thank him and I got to praise him. But I can't do it too well with my head down. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not that you don't want to, but life has put a crook or a crick in your neck. And that crick in your neck, because it's been down so long, Mother Austin, it makes it hard for you to lift it up. But what I'm saying to you today right now is the Lord wants to remove that crick or crook in your neck. And if you want God to remove that crook or crick in your neck, I said both of them because I don't know which one sounds better. Then what I want you to do, if you're saying, Lord, enough is enough. And Lord, I need you to help me to get this crook out of my neck so I can lift up my head. So that I can fully praise you and worship you and be all that you want me to be. Because, Lord, you know I love you. But life stuff has put this crook in my neck.